The book of 1 John. I want to go ahead and read, beginning with verse number 1. But before I do, let me just ask, anybody spent some time this week? You remember to spend some time meditating on this? I hope you have. It'll be good for you if you do. And I challenge you to continue to do that. We'll be spending at least two more weeks in chapter 1. So, 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifest and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Today we're going to be focusing our attention on verse number 6. Verse number 6. You know, when I was a boy, I would sometimes help my uncle pull weeds out of his bean field. He had big fields of navy beans, and we would go through. He had to pull them up by hand so that they didn't come up and mess up the crops. And my cousin would sometimes help us, but he was a little older than me, and he always wore gloves. I thought, why would he wear gloves? It's hot over here. Why would he wear gloves pulling these? But the reason he wore gloves is because he worked in a restaurant, in a fancy restaurant, and the rules at the restaurant was he had to have clean hands. He couldn't have dirt under his fingers. He couldn't have stains on his hands. He had to have clean hands. And so he had to wear gloves in order to do that. You know, as Christians, God cannot tolerate any dirt in our lives. He cannot tolerate that dirt that in our lives. If we're going to have fellowship with him, God says, if you're going to have fellowship with me, you've got to have your life clean. And so God has given us some instructions here to help us. And those who claim, you know, that a little dirt, you know, won't prevent me from fellowshipping with God, God knows the truth, and God can't be fooled. We can't fool God. We can't fool God. And so it's important for us to grasp that, and John is helping us here, and John's words here were against the false claim of fellowship when someone sought to have fellowship with God and did not have a clean life before him. And so as we look at this evening, I want to first of all notice the claim, and then we're going to look at the contradiction, and then finally the conclusion. And you see that in your bulletin. I encourage you to take some notes on it, and I think it can be of help to you. But first of all, let's look at the claim. We see there, he says in the beginning of the verse, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him. If we say that we have fellowship with him. All right, now, we say, claiming something that needs to be backed up by our life. And he said, if we say it, but our life doesn't back it up, then we're fooling ourselves. You know, talk is cheap. We can say anything. You can say, well, I'm walking with the Lord. I'm living for the Lord. But if you're really not, it doesn't mean anything. It needs to be backed up by our life. And God wants our life to demonstrate what we claim. Now, we may say this to others that inquire. Somebody might ask you. You know, we don't do that very often, but it's something we ought to do more often. We ought to ask each other, how are you doing spiritually? How are you doing spiritually? We think, oh, don't invade their lives. You know, we don't like that. And we feel uncomfortable if somebody comes up to us and says, how are you doing spiritually? And we know we're not doing very good. We don't really want them asking those kind of questions. But you know, we really should. The Bible encourages us to edify each other and encourage each other spiritually. And so we really should do that. But if someone comes up to us and asks us, how are you doing spiritually? You know, this idea here, we may say this to, well, I'm in fellowship with God, when we really might not be. And so we need to keep that in mind. And here, he says, many Christians also evaluate their fellowship with God by their own standard. You know, that's a real temptation for us to say, well, you know, I think that I'm doing okay. And yet that's really not the issue. And I want you to turn over with me just a few pages to the book of James. James chapter 1. And I want to just notice, just briefly, something I shared with the youth on Friday night. But in James chapter 1, James talks about how we are to meditate, but he also talks about how we are to fellowship with God. And in James chapter 1, and we see in verse number 22, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So James is saying here that if we say something that isn't true, we're deceiving ourselves. And he goes on in verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So what is James saying? He's saying if we take and open up the Word of God and we look at it and we find something we don't like, he says you're like a person who looks into a mirror. And you look into the mirror and you see that things aren't real well in your appearance. And if you walk away, he says, you're being foolish. You're walking away. You're not making the changes needed. And so it is when we look into the Bible. God says the Bible needs to be our guide. As we look into the Bible needs to put what we have that shows us what is right and what is wrong. And so as we look into the Bible and the Bible says, this isn't right, that's not right, this is what God wants, this is what God wants, then we need to allow God to make our choices instead of ourselves. And so many times, if we think we have fellowship with God and God says, no, you really don't have fellowship with me, we're deceiving ourselves. It's not helping us. Folks, it doesn't help us when we say that we have fellowship with God if we really don't. We're not helping ourselves. We're not impressing God. God can't be fooled. So we need to be very careful that we use the Bible as our standard as to, am I really following what God wants me to do, not my own opinion? Because so many people tend to think, well, I think this, or I don't think that's wrong, and I think that's okay, and that we need to be very careful about that, that we don't follow our opinions, and we remember what God says. Now, remember that fellowship is companionship. Fellowship is companionship. And it is sharing that companionship with God. And as we think about this, I want us to just consider some verses here that I think will be of help to us that deal with various aspects of fellowship with God. For example, James chapter 4, verse number 8. We're there in the book of James, a couple pages over. James chapter 4, verse number 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Drawing near to God is getting in fellowship with God. All right? So we need to draw near to God as one description of fellowship with Him. Back in the book of John chapter 15, and if you don't get all these, if you can't find them all as quickly as I do, then that's fine. Just, you know, jot them down. But John chapter 15 and verse number 5, it says, "I am the vine." Jesus is speaking here. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." So abiding in Christ is that staying close to Christ. It is staying connected to Christ. It is staying in tune with Christ. And God says that is fellowship. That is fellowship with God. We find also in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Galatians 5, 16. Here he speaks of the Holy Spirit. But once again, part of the Trinity of God. And he says, "This I say unto you, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So if we walk in the Spirit, we walk in sweet harmony with God, the Holy Spirit, we are having fellowship with God. It is a synonym here of fellowship with God. Another synonym is resting in the Lord completely. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse number 7. Psalm 37 and verse number 7. And I realize I'm taking you all over the Bible, but many of you are quick at finding that. But if you can't, just write it down. Psalm 37 and verse number 7. "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass." God says we're to rest in the Lord, having a rest in Him and relaxing in the Lord and trusting Him and depending upon Him. That is fellowship with God. And we find in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, the other end of our Bible, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Fellowship with God is total contentment and with God, just being contented with what God has given me, because God is all I need. I don't need anything else. God is all I need. Back in the Psalms again, should have put these in order, but Psalm 42 and verse number 1, Psalm 42, 1, the psalmist says there, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. It is a passion for God. It is also a description of fellowship with God. It is also dwelling in God's secret place. Psalm 91 in verse number 1. Psalm 91 in verse number 1. Psalm 91, 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It is that secret place of God where you get alone with God and you're in sweet fellowship with God and you're in communion with God. And it is that fellowship that we need, that closeness to God, Psalm 91, 1. That's feeding on the Word of God and pondering the things of God. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, 18. Psalm 119, 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Praying to God, God, would you open my eyes? I want to learn from your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so it's that desire to learn and to feed on the word of God and ponder the things of God. And it is also frequently sharing your heart with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It's that communion with God, a continual communication with God. Back in the Psalm 119, 148, he talks about meditation. Psalm 119, verse 148. Psalm 119, 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. My eyes prevent the night watches. They're anticipating these night watches that I might be able to meditate on your word. And so all of these are describing fellowship with God. One last one. Psalm 13:6. Psalm 13:6. The psalmist said that he would sing unto the Lord. Psalm 13 and verse number 6. Sing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He has dealt bountifully. I'll sing unto him. And so we can fellowship with God by singing hymns to Him. We fellowship with God by all of these things we've just looked at here. They're all synonyms for fellowship with God. Drawing near to God, abiding in God, walking in the Spirit, resting in God, total contentment in God, and a passion for God, a dwelling in God's secret place, feeding on God's Word and pondering the Word of God, and frequently sharing our heart with God throughout the day, and communing with God, and meditating on the Scriptures, and singing songs and hymns to God. All that's part of meditation, and all of it's part of our fellowship with God. And before we claim to have fellowship with God, we need to consider these verses and others that deal with the same subject and ask ourselves, do I really fellowship with God? Am I really in fellowship with God? Do I have that sweet communion? And folks, I know this is something that Christians all over the world struggle with, of having a genuine, intimate, close fellowship with God. And yet it is something that is available for all of us. And God wants us to have that sweet communion. But again, back to our text verse in 1 John. 1 John 1, 6, once again, he says, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The contradiction is the next thing we see. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we walk in darkness. John described the Christian who was claiming to have fellowship with God, but was walking in darkness. Now, last week we talked about the light, walking in the light. What does it mean to be light? Well, we said that the light was purity, it was holiness, it was righteousness. It was that description of God that makes him perfect in every way. And that in God is no darkness at all. None. He can't tolerate any darkness at all. And so there's no darkness with God. But what is darkness? Well, darkness is the opposite of light. Literally, the word darkness refers to outside darkness when the sun goes down, that literal darkness. Or it could refer to darkness of eternal doom. It refers to spiritual darkness. But it often refers to darkness of sin in general. The darkness of sin in general. And I believe that's probably the context in which John had in mind. But I want us to notice several verses that deal with this word darkness, as God dealt with that word. Back in the book of John, and these do follow Bible order, so if you follow with me, it won't be so complicated. John chapter 3 and verse number 19. John chapter 3 and verse number 19. John chapter 3 and verse number 19, Jesus had just talked to Nicodemus. And in verse number 19 it says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds are evil. Men love darkness rather than light. And remember, Christ is the light. And men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to be around the light. And we know even in our reality, in our world, you know, thieves don't like it when the light turns on. They don't like it when lights are shining on evil that they're doing because they want to hide. And so it is in spiritual matters as well. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 is the next one that I want us to notice here that deals with darkness. Romans chapter 13. I know we got a lot of verses here tonight, but it's good for us to see what the scriptures say about these things. Romans 13 and verse number 12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. So God says we need to get rid of the works of darkness in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness?" He said there's no communion, there's no fellowship. The word communion is the same word, it's koinonia, it means fellowship. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. There's no communion at all. They don't get along at all. We know that in reality in our own lives, the light and the darkness just don't get along. You turn on the light, the darkness is gone. As soon as you turn off the light, the darkness comes back. But they don't get along together. And so it is spiritually. God says there's no fellowship between them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Ephesians 5, 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." He said before we came to Christ, we were in the dark. We were in darkness. We were doing what was wrong. But now we're in the light. And he says, we're to walk as children of light. We know the light. We know what is right now. And he says, walk in what you know is right. Walk in the light. And then down in verse 11 of the same chapter, he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." He said, don't fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The works of darkness, the sinful things, the things, the bad things that we may want to do, the bad things that people around us do. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. They're unfruitful. They're unproductive. They're not going to help you spiritually. So God says, have nothing to do with them. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. The Bible talks a lot about darkness. It really does. Colossians 1 and verse 13, and I'm not even using all of the verses that I found. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Before we were saved, we were controlled by it. It dominated us. No matter how hard we tried, we'd still go right back into it. But now he's delivered us from the power of darkness that we might be able to be set free from that. We don't have to live in darkness. And then one last one, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9, a verse that I believe I read this morning. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Peter 2, 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so he wants us to leave the darkness and live in the light, not in the darkness. Now, back in 1 John, 1 John chapter 1 again, and our text verse, he says, look at verse number 5, "And this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God totally repels darkness. God totally repels darkness. Now, I'm sure all of us at one time or another have waxed our car. And you wax your car, and when it's first nicely waxed, you spray the water hose on it. What happens? The water runs off immediately. All bubbles up, and whoosh, it's gone. Because it repels the water. And so it is. God says that He repels darkness. He can't, it doesn't go near Him. It goes away because God is light. And when He's present, the darkness is gone. And we can't be near Him in the darkness. James chapter 4 and verse number 4, James said, Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That is a fearful verse. God says, if we are a friend of the world, we are God's enemy. God says, I cannot be near darkness. And He wants us to stay away from darkness and to flee darkness and to keep it out of our lives. We cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. It doesn't work. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, James goes on and he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. So if we know what is right and we do wrong, or we don't do what we know is right, we have sinned. Even though we might say, well, I didn't do anything wicked. All I did is I just didn't do what God told me to do. That's sin. And so if we know what's right and we don't do it, that is sin. Now, darkness includes every sin from a bad attitude to murder and everything in between. I mean, sometimes we think, well, all I did is had a little bit of a grumpy attitude or bad attitude. Bad attitudes are sin. And so is murder. So is all the other wicked things in between. But God cannot tolerate sin of any kind. Solomon said in Proverbs 2:13, he said that walking in darkness is leaving the paths of uprightness. We leave the path of uprightness. God says, here's my path. It is the path of uprightness. And as soon as we step off that path of uprightness, we have entered into what was wrong. It is unrighteous, and it is not right, and it is sinful. And if you cannot see the darkness of sin, you haven't spent enough time in the light of God's Word. Folks, that's really where we struggle. We don't spend enough time getting to know who God is, and therefore we don't hate sin like God hates sin. Just this morning I was reminded in Psalm 34 that David said, I will teach you to fear the Lord. But in the whole chapter, he's talking about God's character, God's greatness, and God's provision, and God's care for us, and all the things that God loved and hated. And he's saying, really, if we're going to fear God, we've got to know God. And so it is, John's saying here, if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to walk in the light, we've got to know God so that we'll know what God loves and stay away from the things that God does not love. You know, if we try to justify attitudes and clothing and actions and words and movies and books and anything else that you know might be wrong, that is walking in the dark. Now, sometimes we don't consider it that way. Sometimes they say, well, if you show it to me and prove it to me that it's wrong, then I'll know it's wrong. But God said that if we think that God might not like this, and we do it anyway, we have sinned. We find that in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, where he says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If we do something and we don't have faith that it is right, that it is pleasing to God, and we do it anyway, God said that is sin. And so we've got to be very, very careful in this regard. Now, what I'm about to say next is probably the most important part of the whole message, so make sure you don't miss this. Claiming to be in fellowship with God and yet walking in darkness is a contradiction. All right, that's what John said here. He said, if we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Walking in darkness. What exactly is walking in darkness? And just this afternoon, I redid my message in this area and reworked this, because this morning as I was pondering this before we came to church, I was reading over this, pondering it again, praying and asking God for wisdom, and God turned on a light that I hadn't seen before. And so I had to work it into here. But walking in darkness is being unwilling to yield to God in some area of your life that God calls sin. Walking in darkness is unwillingness to yield to God in some area of your life that God calls sin. Now, why did I define it like that? Why didn't I just say, if there's any sin at all in your life, you're walking in darkness? Here's the reason why. Look at verse 7. We're going to look at this next week. We'll spend more time on it. I'll just briefly touch on it. This is what spoke to my heart. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, I thought, well, why did He say the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from sin? If I'm walking in the light, I don't have any sin in my life. I got my life clean. I can't walk in the light if I got sin in my life. And then I thought, no, He's not saying that the Christian life is a sinless quest where we are, you must be sinless or you can't get have fellowship with God. He's saying you have to have a yielded heart and saying, God, I don't want to sin. And what you called sin, I agree it is sin. And I'm doing my best right now. As far as I know, God, there's nothing between me and you. I've confessed my sin. There's nothing between us. And we can have fellowship with God. But it doesn't mean that I'm sinless. And it doesn't mean that I won't trip. And that's why He tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from sin. So if we're staying in fellowship with God, we have constant access to the cleansing power of the Lord in our life. A constant access to that. And then He addresses that more thoroughly in verse 9. Well, actually, 8 to 10, but 9 specifically. And we'll talk more about that when we get there. So, I've defined this walking in darkness as being unwilling to yield to God in some area of your life. If there's some area of your life where you say, well, I know what Pastor said, I know what the Bible says, but I don't like that, or I don't agree, or I just can't do that, or I just don't see it that way yet. That's the area that's going to stop you from having fellowship with God, because you're not willing to yield to God. God wants us to be willing. If we claim to have fellowship with God and we're unwilling to yield to God, and that is a serious contradiction. A serious contradiction. Some Christians spend their lives looking for loopholes in God's standards to justify what they want to do. And they will never enjoy the fellowship with God. If we spend our lives saying, well, there's got to be an exception here. God said, yeah, but there's got to be an exception. I got to find it. It's got to be somewhere in the Bible that God says, except for this, except for... And we spend our lives looking for a loophole to get around it. We're never going to have fellowship with God. God says, if we just yield to Him and say, Lord, I want more than anything else, I want my life to please You in any way, and let there be nothing between my soul and the Savior, and if there's anything at all, Lord, reveal it to me. And we can pray with the psalmist in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, where he says, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want there to be nothing between us, nothing. And I'm willing to yield. You show me what's wrong, and I will change. Remember Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. He said, you teach me, God, I will do it. And if we have that attitude, we can fellowship with God. We can. We can walk in the light and fellowship with God. But if our attitude is, God, you show me, but if I don't like it, I won't do it until I'm convinced. We can't have fellowship with God. God says, I want you to yield to me in every area. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. God cannot fellowship with a Christian that will not confess his sins in his life. You know, we will never be sinless this side of heaven, but we must be willing to yield to God in every area that God calls sin. Yield to God. Be willing to yield to God. Say, God, I will do what you want me to do. You show me and I'll obey you. Now that brings us to the conclusion. John says here, again, in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, John very bluntly tells us what will happen. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with God and there's an area of our life where we have not yielded to God and we're not willing to obey God in that area, we're not willing to confess that as sin, John says, you're lying. You're lying. Now, that's pretty blunt, but that's the truth. Why do Christians lie about their fellowship with God? We've probably all lied to ourselves a time or two about this. Why do we lie about fellowship with God? Well, I got three suggestions. Number one is self-protection. Self-protection. I must look spiritual even if I'm walking in darkness. I don't want to look bad. Self-protection. We're proud people. We hate to look bad. And we just don't want to think that somehow I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Self-protection. The second one is self-deception. I think we often fall into this one. I think God understands my situation. He's a God of love, and He will overlook if I walk a little bit in what He calls darkness. God understands. I'm not as strong as somebody else. And so God will understand. Reminds me of a young man I met in Clarkson years ago when I was knocking on doors. And the young man claimed to be a Christian. And as I was talking with him and asking him some questions, he said that he was living with his girlfriend. And I asked him, I said, well, what does God think about that? He said, well, I know what the Bible says and I know what God says, but he says, I think God understands my situation. I mean, that young man was deceiving himself and tragically ignorant of God's holiness. He was deceiving himself. And yet, you know, we may not be quite that blunt and blatant with God, but often we allow self-deception. We think, well, God understands my situation. I just can't do that because you know my situation. I can't obey you in that area because look, if I obeyed you in that area, what would happen? And I can't. And we make all those excuses and we try to justify the area of our life where is our pet little area that we keep sheltered and protected because we can't give that up for one reason or another because we're afraid of what might happen. God says if we can't and we won't yield to in that area. We cannot have fellowship with Him. We can't. The third reason I believe that Christians lie is self-exaltation. And hopefully none of us would do this, but the people that say, well, I know better. I disagree with what the Bible says about light and darkness, and God's standards are too high. You know, sometimes we feel that way. We think, well, God, what's God expect? I can't be that way. I can't do that. I mean, He's asking me to do this. I can't do that. That's impossible for me. And God's just asking too much. And so we make excuses and say, well, you know, I'm still going to walk in fellowship with God, but I can't do it quite His way because that's ridiculous. I can't. And we're saying, we know better than God. Well, that attitude is wicked rebellion against God. God's the one that makes the standards, not me. And we don't have the right to tell God that He was wrong in what He did. If God said, this is what I want you to do, and we say, well, I can't do that, God, then we're disobeying God. God's the one that sets the standard. And we've got to follow Him. John here says, we lie. But he also said that we do not the truth. Not only is the contradiction a lie, but it is also rejecting God's truth. The truth is that God is light. God is absolutely perfect and holy. That's the truth. The truth is that God, in God is no darkness at all. God cannot tolerate any kind of darkness, the slightest bit of it in His presence, none at all. That's the truth. And John's saying here, we're not doing the truth. We're not following God's word in this. If we claim to have fellowship with God while we are walking in darkness, we're not obeying God's truth. We are not doing what God says is true. We're not following the Bible. The Bible is not our absolute standard. We're twisting the Bible to fit our own opinions. But we're not obeying the truth. Now, folks, the Bible is the truth. And the Bible doesn't lie. God gives us His Word. He tells us what He wants. And sometimes we may feel in our hearts, but God is so narrow and it's hard. Yes, sometimes it is. But that doesn't mean God's wrong. He's still right. Even if it's hard, even if it is narrow, God is still right. And we need to accept that as the standard in our lives. You know, and if we start questioning this and we start saying, well, I just don't know. I don't know that I can do this. What we need to do is we need to go back to verse 5 and meditate on verse 5 some more. Verse 5 is the key to the whole book. Probably verses 3 and 5, but 5 particularly here. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. God is light. He is not dark at all. And we need to, the better we understand God, the more you learn about God, watching the Scriptures, as you're reading in the Psalms and in the Proverbs and all through the Scriptures, and you find what it says about God, note those things, learn about God, find out His character, that He is faithful and He is just and He is pure and He is godly and He's loving and He's tender and He's a gracious God. He's forgiving God. He is a faithful God. He is a powerful God. He is an omnipotent God. He is an omniscient God. He knows everything about me. And you go on and on and on and on and on as you learn about God. The more you learn about God, the more you'll be able to understand when He says God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. And so when we start to question this and we say, but I can still have fellowship with God and not be just like He wants. No, we need to go back and we need to study more about God. Because we really don't understand God, if that's our attitude. And so, remember tonight, fellowship, or walking in darkness, is being unwilling to yield to God in some area of our lives that God calls sin. We've got to be willing to yield. God's not saying you be absolutely perfect and don't do anything wrong at all and then you can come near me. But He says you need to be willing. Now, it is true, we need to have our heart clean. We need to come before God. And I don't believe that we can come to God knowing that there's something I haven't confessed. Because that's part of this yielding. Lord, I've looked in my heart. I've confessed my sin. As far as I know, there's nothing between us. And I want to walk in your light with you. And we can walk in the light. But if God brings something to our mind that needs to be confessed, if we're walking in the light, what did He say in verse 7? We'll see it next week. That the blood of Christ will cleanse us. Because we will then confess it, as He says in verse 9. But if we're not willing to do that, then we can't fellowship with God. We've got to have a yieldedness to God and to keep sin out of our life. God longs for our fellowship, but if we're walking in darkness, it is better that we admit it and deal with it and change than to lie. It's far better. As you look in the mirror of your spiritual life tonight and ask yourself, am I fellowshipping with God? Have I had fellowship with God this week? If you would have to say, no, I guess I haven't. You're better off saying, no, I haven't, and I need to work on it, than to say, yes, I have, and lie. God doesn't want us to lie about this fellowship with Him. But if we see that we have not, then we need to strive for that. God saved you to deliver you from darkness and enable you to walk in the light. And God knows that you'll never be sinless aside of heaven. But He wants us to be willing to yield to Him in every area. And instead of looking for loopholes in God's standards, we need to humbly and willingly give up anything questionable in our passion to glorify God. We should be willing to do that. Instead of saying, but I'm not going to give up that. Look at all the Christians who do that. That's not the point. If God puts His finger on something we know isn't right, we need to say, God, I'm willing to give up anything because I want to have sweet communion with You. That's what we need. We need to be able to give up all that is wrong to be able to have that sweet communion with God. So I challenge you tonight, as you meditate on these things, let's make sure that we don't tell God that we're having fellowship with Him if we're really walking in darkness and lying to Him. And throughout the week to come, I encourage you to meditate on the verse we talked about here tonight, but also meditate on verse 7. We'll be looking at these two verse 7 next week, walking in the light as He is in the light. We'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. We need that. That's what we need in our heart, to have that. So meditate on that this coming week. Ponder it. Memorize the verse if you can, and just let it go over and over and over in your heart, and prepare your heart. The next week we dig into this and we can learn and apply it. It's a wonderful book, wonderful truths. God wants your fellowship. He really does. And He's telling us how. He's not pushing us away. He's not saying, I'm making it really hard on you so you can't have fellowship with me. No, He's saying, you can't have fellowship with me. You got sin in your life. So get the sin out, yield to me, and I'll welcome you to fellowship. That's what God wants in our lives. And we need to do that.